All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be jumping into something that's like super fundamental to legal practice, but it goes way beyond just that first client meeting, you know?
Absolutely.
It's this idea of the continuing duty of loyalty that attorneys owe to their former clients.
Yeah, continuing duty.
Yeah, and it's like even after you're officially done working with them, and this is honestly a huge deal for anyone even thinking about going into law, because it can seriously shape your career, you know, what you can and can't do, and your responsibilities down the line.
It really is. You know, we spend so much time in law school learning about what we owe to our current clients, but the reality is the legal and ethical world says, hey, listen, just because a case closes or a deal is done doesn't mean your obligations disappear.
Right.
And we're going to dive deep into this today with a really interesting case from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
Dameron v. Herzog from way back in 1995. And this case shines a light on just how far these continuing duties reach.
Okay, Dameron v. Herzog. So let's set the stage. Take us back to 1982. What happened?
All right, so picture this. 1982, we've got a guy named Dameron.
Yep.
He hires an attorney, Mr. Herzog.
Okay.
Herzog's job is to draft a stock purchase agreement for Dameron, who's selling his business to another couple, the Wheatleys.
Okay.
And this agreement outlines how the Wheatleys will pay Dameron over a pretty long stretch, all the way to 1997. So Herzog does his thing, drafts the agreement, and that's that, right? The attorney-client relationship ends. Pretty standard, you'd think.
Yeah, it seems pretty straightforward so far.
Right. But here's where things get interesting.
Oh, good.
Fast forward 9 years, 1991.
Okay.
The stock purchase agreement is still in play. The Wheatleys are still making payments to Dameron. But now the Wheatleys need some legal advice about their responsibilities under that same agreement.
Oh, okay.
And guess who they go to for advice?
I have a feeling I know the answer to this, but...
Herzog, the lawyer who originally drafted the agreement for Dameron.
Oh, wow. So he's advising the other party on the exact contract he wrote for his former client.
Exactly. Talk about overlap, right?
Yeah, that's a little sticky.
Yeah.
So what kind of advice does Herzog end up giving to the Wheatleys?
Well, he tells them to stop making payments to Dameron.
Oh, wow.
And he even sends Dameron a letter explaining the legal grounds for the Wheatleys to halt those payments.
So basically, the attorney who helped the seller write the contract is now telling the buyers how to get out of it.
It's like the legal equivalent of playing both sides of the field.
Right. Some serious red flags popping up there. So how does Dameron react to this letter that's basically undermining the very agreement Herzog helped him create?
Well, as you might imagine, Dameron's not happy. I mean, he's suddenly not getting the payments he's owed. So he takes action and initiates foreclosure proceedings against the Wheatleys.
Oh.
The Wheatleys, in response, they sue Dameron to stop the foreclosure.
Oh, man. So it's a full-blown legal battle now.
Oh, yeah. Things get messy. But eventually, Dameron and the Wheatleys reach a settlement. But Dameron's still feeling the sting. He's out a bunch of money because of the legal defense costs he racked up, because of all this back and forth.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get dragged into a lawsuit you weren't expecting, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
So this brings us to the actual legal action that's at the heart of this episode.
Right.
So in 1993, Dameron files a legal malpractice suit against Herzog. He's claiming over $155,000.
Wow.
All those legal defense costs he says he incurred directly because of Herzog's actions.
Okay.
And get this, at the initial district court level, Herzog actually wins.
Yeah, and that's a really important point. The district court basically said, look, the attorney-client relationship between Herzog and Dameron ended back in 1982. So Herzog's only remaining duty was to keep Dameron's confidential information secret. But Dameron wasn't buying it.
Right, right.
He decided to appeal and took the case up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And this is where it gets really interesting for us, because this is where the court had to grapple with this big question about what an attorney owes to a former client.
Okay, so what was the exact legal question the Ninth Circuit had to answer in Dameron v. Herzog? Like, what was the main issue about an attorney's obligations to their former clients that they needed to figure out?
It boils down to this. Under Idaho law, does an attorney have a continuing duty of loyalty to their former client in situations that are substantially related to the work they did for that client before, even after that attorney-client relationship has officially ended?
So that's the question, substantially related. We're going to have to dig into that. But first, how did the Ninth Circuit rule? Did they agree with the district court, or did they come to a different conclusion about this whole continuing duty of loyalty thing?
They completely disagreed with the district court. The Ninth Circuit was firm. Attorneys do have a continuing duty of loyalty to their former clients in matters that are substantially related to the work they did before, even if the official attorney-client relationship is over.
So let me get this straight. An attorney can't just wrap up a case for a client and then turn around and act against that same client on something closely connected.
Nope, not ethically, not legally. And the court made it crystal clear. They said violating this continuing duty of loyalty can be grounds for a legal malpractice claim from the former client against the attorney.
So basically, the Ninth Circuit gave Dameron's lawsuit a green light to move forward again. And this is why it's so crucial for anyone going into law, like you said, to understand this duty. It's not just about avoiding conflicts right now, but also thinking about what you did for clients in the past.
It's like having a long-term memory in the legal world. What you do today can have consequences years down the line.
All right, so the Ninth Circuit says this continuing duty exists, but why? What was their reasoning? Why was this duty so important even after that formal relationship ended?
Here's the really insightful part. They linked the duty of loyalty to the duty of confidentiality. They basically said, listen, even if an attorney doesn't actually reveal specific secrets they learned while representing a client, just the risk of a conflict popping up because they're now representing someone against their old client on a similar issue, that risk alone is enough to be a breach of loyalty.
So even if you don't spill the beans, the fact that you used to represent one side on a specific issue creates an imbalance, like an unfair advantage, if you then represent the other side on the same issue or something very close to it. It kind of feels like it betrays that initial trust you built with the first client.
Yeah, exactly. It's about maintaining the integrity of the legal system, making sure clients can trust their lawyers without worrying about them switching sides later on.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And this is where this whole idea of the attorney-client relationship reattaching comes into play, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, how did the court apply that to Dameron and Herzog?
The court basically said because Herzog's advice to the Wheatleys in 1991 was directly about the very same stock purchase agreement he'd drafted for Dameron back in 1982, his duty of loyalty to Dameron was basically reactivated for that specific issue. It's not like he owed Dameron loyalty on everything forever, but on that particular matter, because it was so closely tied to his past work, that duty kicked back in.
I remember the source material used a really good analogy to explain this. Can you remind me what it was?
Oh, yeah, it was spot on. They said Herzog literally wrote the contract he later advised the Wheatleys to breach. That's like drafting a will and then helping someone contest it.
Right, right. That really brings it home. It's like a clear example of why that kind of situation is ethically and legally messy. So we've talked about substantially related matters quite a bit. But for those of us who are just starting out in law, how do we actually figure out what substantially related means in real life? What are the things we should be looking at?
That's a great question and a really important one. While the Dameron case doesn't give us a step-by-step checklist, we can kind of piece together a three-part test based on what the court said and the general principles of conflicts of interest. So, first things first, was there a previous attorney-client relationship? In Dameron, it was clear-cut. Herzog represented Dameron back in 82.
Okay, so that's step one, usually pretty easy to figure out. What's next?
All right, number two. Is the attorney now representing a client whose interests clash with those of the former client? Again, in Dameron, this was pretty obvious. Herzog was telling the Wheatleys how to avoid making payments that Dameron was entitled to under the very agreement Herzog had drafted for him. They were on opposite sides of the fence.
So it's not just about representing someone different. It's about representing someone whose goals directly go against what you did for a past client on a related issue.
You got it. And lastly, this is the big one, the substantially related part. Generally, this means the current case involves the same deal, the same legal questions, or there's a real chance the attorney could use confidential info they got from the earlier representation in this new case. They give a good example in the material we read. It said something like, if you help a client buy a business, you probably can't later represent the seller in a lawsuit against your old client about that same sale. So the deal itself connects the two representations.
Okay, so it's not just working in the same general area of law. It's got to be a direct factual or legal link between what you did before and what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's got to be a strong enough connection that there's a genuine possibility of a conflict of interest or misuse of confidential information.
All right, so this Dameron v. Herzog decision, it seems like it had a pretty big impact on the legal profession. What are the key takeaways for those of us about to start our legal careers?
I think the biggest takeaway is that our ethical duties as attorneys don't just vanish when we finish representing a client. That duty of loyalty, it sticks around for matters that are substantially related to that past work. Ignoring this can lead to some serious ethical violations, and you could even get hit with a legal malpractice lawsuit.
So we can't just focus on conflicts with our current clients. We also have to think about our past clients and whether a new case could cause a conflict with what we did for them before.
Absolutely. And while Dameron was decided based on Idaho law, these core ideas about the continuing duty of loyalty are pretty much accepted everywhere in the legal world. It's a lesson for every future lawyer, no matter where they end up practicing. It's at the heart of what it means to be ethical in this profession.
Okay, so how can future attorneys make sure they're following this continuing duty and not falling into any traps? Any practical tips?
The most important thing is to always do a thorough conflicts check before taking on any new client or case. This means looking at your current clients, but also really carefully looking at your past clients and the kind of work you did for them. If you see any signs that a new case might be substantially related to something you did before, and your former client might be on the other side now, be extra careful. You might even have to say no to that new case, or at least talk to an experienced ethics lawyer to figure out how to handle that potential conflict.
So being proactive and cautious is key. The consequences of missing these obligations can be pretty serious, both ethically and in terms of potential lawsuits.
Absolutely. Yeah. The source material ended with a really good quote. It said, "The court warned, attorneys aren't free agents. Loyalty outlives the retainer." And that's something we should all remember, that duty doesn't just disappear.
That's a great point to keep in mind. Now, before we wrap up our deep dive into Dameron v. Herzog, let's clear up a couple of things about this reattaching duty. It applies to substantially related matters, but it doesn't mean we owe every single former client loyalty on everything forever, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely not. It's only for those specific things that are closely tied to what you did for them before. It doesn't mean you can never represent someone whose interests might generally be against a former client's. It's all about the overlap between the past and the present work.
And one more thing to remember, it's not like you have to prove actual harm was done to the former client to say this duty was breached. Just the fact that there's a substantially related matter and you're representing someone against your former client, that can be enough.
Right. The rules recognize that the possibility of conflict and damaging that trust in the legal system, that's a problem, even if no one can prove they lost money or something like that. Even the appearance of doing something wrong can be just as damaging as actually doing something wrong. It's all about keeping the profession clean.
Okay, and last but not least, can you quickly explain the difference between a legal malpractice claim, like what Dameron filed, and ethical violations that could come up because of this continuing duty of loyalty?
Sure. When you break this continuing duty of loyalty, your former client can sue you for legal malpractice. That's a civil case where they're trying to get money for losses they say you caused. But that same action can also be an ethical violation according to the rules of professional conduct wherever you practice law. And those ethical violations can lead to the bar disciplining you, like giving you a warning, a reprimand, suspending your license, or even taking your license away permanently. So it's the same basic breach of duty, but different consequences, different ways of dealing with it.
Okay, good clarification, thanks. So to sum up our deep dive into Dameron v. Herzog, the message for future lawyers is this: that duty of loyalty you have to your clients, it doesn't automatically end when you stop representing them. For matters that are substantially related to what you did before, that duty continues. It's a crucial part of being a good lawyer, both legally and ethically.
That's it. It's about honoring the trust people put in us as legal professionals and making sure everything we do is fair and above board, whether it's for clients we're working with now or clients we worked with in the past.
So to all our listeners out there, starting your legal journeys, think about what we talked about today. Think about how tricky it can be to figure out if something you're working on now is substantially related to what you did for a client before, and think about what you'll do to handle these ethical situations and make sure you're always upholding that continuing duty of loyalty. It's a big part of being a responsible and ethical attorney.
Knowing all this now will definitely help you down the road as you face those tough ethical decisions that come with practicing law. It's all part of the journey.
Well said. Thanks for joining us today. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.